Good morning, Lathia.
Good morning.
Nice to see all y'all turn out today. It's a good day. It's a good day to worship the Lord. It's a good day to come together. So we're going to do something different. Pastor Terry's out of town, and so he'll be back next week. And today, we're going to look at we're going to start in Romans chapter 1. Oh, you did do it. All right. I wasn't sure. We have scripture up there. Nice. I turned it in kind of late, so I wasn't sure. It didn't matter. But dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you again, Lord, and we just want to lift up this day, Lord, to you. And Lord, we've spent some time worshiping you, Lord. You've prepared our hearts. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you've given us. We've given our tithes and offerings back to you. We've had our Bible study earlier this morning, Lord. And now, Lord, speak to our hearts and speak to our minds, Lord. And let us know it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be all right. In Jesus' name, amen. So Romans 1. And that's kind of the title of this message, that it's going to be all right. So if you've been going through some things, you've been having some troubles, well, welcome to the real world. We all go through trouble. We all go through hardships. And we know so many people, other people that also go through things. And but thank God we, because of what Christ has done for us, we have the good news. And through Christ, it's going to be all right. So let's look at this. It says, verse 1, this letter is from Paul, a slave of Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere that God is what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. So he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he passed his authority that God had given him onto the apostles and also to us. And we'll look at that in Matthew chapter 28. This is the title in my Bible at least, is the resurrection. And it says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, verse 1, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. "Come, see where his body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." So he rose from the dead after the 3 days, just like he said he would. And it said the guard shook with fear. And that was just at the sight of an angel. Then the angel shone so brightly that light was so bright that they couldn't take it. And then came the report of the guard. And it says that as the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble." So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. So the Pharisees made up a story because they didn't want it to get out. And the guards were afraid. These were Roman guards. These are the elite soldiers. You know, a Roman officer, Leonidas, he had his elite troops, and not to say that these guys were part of that, but just so you know, these Roman officers, these were some elite forces, and they were trembling in their boots when they saw this angel and that stone being rolled away, so they basically were ready to faint. And so so because of all that, a lie was made up, because the Pharisees didn't want more people to believe in Jesus, the Jesus that the apostles were going to be sent out to share all about. And Jesus was about to give them his authority after he rose from the dead. And that's what we're going to see next. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. So this was a prearranged deal. Before he died, he let them know, "I want you guys, before you go out, I want you guys to come to Galilee." And he wanted to give them power to do the work that they had to do. And so he said, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Well, sometimes, even though we believe, we still need some more. And one of the songs that we sang this morning, it talked about confidence and how we need to have confidence. The only way we're going to get some confidence to go out and share the good news is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need some time with God. We need to get away into that secret place, into that quiet place. We need Jesus. We need to close the door of our busy minds and get into that quiet, still place where we can hear from God, hear from heaven, and let the Holy Spirit minister to us. Let God minister and just be quiet. He says, when we go into that, Jesus said in the model prayer, he said, if you go and do that, when you come out, your Father in heaven who sees it all, He will reward you openly. And you know, you'll see, because you get strengthened, you get filled up with His presence and that light inside of you. You know, you ever seen a pilot light? When you light up a stove or a, there's a little pilot light that's always going. But then when the flame is turned, the gas is turned up, what happens? Whoop, it lights up, and then there's this bright light, and it's hot, and it burns. And you know, we've got Jesus inside of us, and that fire, it's bright, and it you know, there's things that happen, and things that happened at one time to us when we got around somebody that shared the good news with us. And that was an amazing time in each one of our lives, because we heard God through this person. We heard Him speaking to us and sharing the good news. And we were ignited when we said, "Yes, Jesus. Yes, I need You. Yes, I need to be changed. I want to be different. I'm not happy with where I'm at in my life. I need a change." You know, there's this thing that happens when we know that we don't have the truth. We're living to the best of our abilities, making all of our own decisions without having God lead and guide us when we don't know Him. But when we come to know Him, it's different, because now He guides us and He leads us through our time with Him in prayer and through His Word. Okay, so let's move on to let's go back to Romans 1. Something Pastor Terry mentions every now and then, and maybe somebody else catches it too, but it just triggered my whole thinking about that we can't live in sin. There's something about, okay, if I stumble, you know, and I end up doing something, and then I turn and repent, I say, "God, forgive me, I'm sorry, you know, I did that again, or I said something, I did something, I got caught up, but Lord, I need You. And I'm sorry, and I mean it, and I'm going to do my best to never do that again." Then we move on, and God forgives. But if I'm continuously living in sin, meaning I'm not really wanting to get out of whatever it is that I'm enjoying, you know, the desires and the lusts of the flesh, whatever they may be, I'm just living in the moment, enjoying, you know, the fleeting pleasures of my sin, whatever it is, but I don't want to leave. Well, there's a real problem with that. And so back to Romans 1. And we'll we'll scoochie. Okay, we'll go to verse 18. It says, "But God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because He has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God." So when a person lives in sin and is around other people, other people see that. We're all affecting one another. And if we're Christians and we're doing that, whoa, that's a whole nother thing. But it's one thing to have acknowledged God and have received Christ, and then it's another thing to not know God. But there's consequences for staying in sin and staying in that state. It says in verse 21, yes, they knew God. So this is believers now. But they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. I'm sorry, let me take that back. That's not true. This is just saying that God has made it obvious that He is alive. He is real through His creation. I made a mistake when I said that this was believers. It's not. It's people living in sin. And it shouldn't be for believers. Okay. And then it says, claiming to be wise instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Now, my wife and I and my brother went up to the Sierras a week or two ago. We spent about 6 days up there, and we went shopping. For me, it was great. We got some fresh air. We were in the trees, driving through the mountain, beautiful. We didn't do any fishing, but we did some resting. And near the end of the trip, we decided we were going to go do some shopping. We wanted to buy some gifts. We have a landscaping business for some people here who don't know that. And so we have some workers, and we wanted to buy some gifts. And so we went into the shop, and I saw this sign, and it was this big round sign, and it had Bigfoot sitting on a log, and he had a coffee mug in his hand, and it says, "He doesn't believe in you either." And so I thought about that. You know, I bought it because I gave it to the coffee shop, but when I gave it to them, I told the owner, I said, "Isn't it funny? More people would take a shot and believe in Bigfoot, you know, hope, and, you know, there's people searching all the time. You can watch Bigfoot stuff all over, you know, and I watch that stuff because it's interesting to me, you know, and I think it's funny because I'm like, people are more willing to believe in Bigfoot than Jesus, you know, and so, but it said that don't worry, Bigfoot doesn't believe in you either. And so, but we got some gifts and we gave them, we just want to love on the people that God has brought to us to help us, with the work that we do. And we appreciate each one. And you know, our workers told us when we got back that it's different without you guys around. We left them in charge. We left Esmeralda in charge. And she said, "Yeah, it was different without you here, you know, because you lead us in a way that we feel, you know, peace, and we feel, you know, to have a good leader, it makes all the difference, because when you're not here, the rest of us really are used to being the one to tell everybody what to do and things like that." So it was just interesting. And but it reminds me of how the Lord has helped me, because I didn't have those skills, you know, early on. I had to develop those skills. And a lot of the things that I do in our business have come from my relationship with the Lord, because He's helped me to love people and in a way that attracts them, and they want to be like that. And it's like how here with before, there's people here, a lot of people know Jack and obviously Terry. And with Terry, you know, we get around him and we see that the fruit of the Spirit in him, and it's very attractive. And, you know, it makes me want to grow. It makes me want to change, you know, and I just know that we affect each other a lot. And it's important that we think of that when we get around the people in our lives. And Yeah, so and so verse 24, so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their heart desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. You know, it goes on. Listen, it says, and that is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulge in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burdened with lust for each other. It just, when we get away from God far enough, it just goes down. We're just getting further and further away from God and into these kinds of things that really there's penalties for all of this wickedness. And let's go over to 1 Corinthians, because it's important that in order to understand that what Jesus did, what God did when He sent Jesus, and Jesus went to the cross, our salvation isn't free. There was a price paid, and that price was for our sin. And so when we recognize the sins that we've committed against God, and that Jesus helped us so we don't have to pay the penalty, He did. And that's a big thing, because any good judge, if you go to court, and we've talked about this before, but when we go to court, if we've committed a crime, we're going to have to pay. A good judge is going to make sure that the penalty is administered, and that it's fair, and that, hey, this is what the law says, and if you do this, this is the price that you're going to pay for doing that wrong. Well, and God is so much better, and to stand before God and to think I can just say I'm sorry. Is any good judge, if you go before Him and say, hey, you know what, judge, you're right, I was wrong, hey, I'm sorry, is that going to be good enough? No. They're going to say, well, this is the law. This is what the penalty is. And hey, I get it, you're sorry, you got caught. And now, but I'm sorry, you're going to have to pay the price. But what a thing it would be if after the judge said, hey, this is, you're going to have to pay for this, but somebody else walks in and says, hey, judge, I'm going to pay that price for this person so that they don't have to. And you're facing some serious time, let's say. And then somebody comes in and says, I'm going to do the time for you. I'm going to pay that penalty. And when you really think about the things each one of us have done wrong in our lives from the time we were babies all the way up till now, if you think about everything you've ever said, thought, or done that was wrong, you get the idea where we're going here. It's a big penalty. It's so big that there was no other way, none. And Jesus said, hey, I'm going to do this because why? God wanted to bring us back to Him, His creation. We're His prized creation, it says in the Word. He said He loves us so much that He was willing to send His Son into this world to die for our sins so that we could be made right in His sight. And that's what He wanted to do because of His great love. And then the only thing we've got to do is accept Him and receive Him and return and repent and say, yes, Lord, I am truly sorry. And from a repentant heart, it changes who we are, because as we repent and turn away, and then we start to follow Him, He gives us His Spirit. He says he gives us a new heart, a heart of flesh. He in the twinkling of an eye, he causes us to become a new person. Okay? Let's jump ahead to 1 Corinthians 6. I'm just wanting to. I just want to share the good news. I really do, and part of the good news, we've got to let people know that what Jesus did came at a price, and what we've done, we need to let people know that those sins are why Jesus died, and those sins are going to keep us from getting into heaven. And it's important that because sometimes people think, oh, hey, I'm better than my cousin. You know, he's a lot worse than I am. You know, I'm pretty good. If you ever ask somebody, hey, you know, when they say, I'm not interested in hearing what you're sharing. You can ask them, well, do you think you're a good person? And a lot of people think they are. And but the Ten Commandments is something you can look at, and that's the law. That's what God gave Moses for the people to show them how much they needed God, and because they were wrong and they were living in a way that wasn't pleasing to God. So he gave the law to cause them to see, like, look, if I'm doing these things, there's going to be a price. So in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6, it says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery are male, or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or are abusive, or cheat people. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. So it says it right there. If we stay in that sin, because look at it, says here though, verse 11. Some of you were once like that. So that's the way we used to be. So in Christ, there's a new life. And so, hey, you've been freed from those penalties because of Christ. So out of a love, you know, to return back to him, love and adoration because of all he's done for you, now it's your goal to follow him, turn away from that old life, start living the new life. And like we read in Matthew 28, part of the way we get there is by sharing the same good news with those people we've been living with, you know, in our before this new life. So they know you, they know what you're like, what you really are like. And when you start talking about Jesus, oh me, oh my, things start happening because they're like, hey, look at what happened to you. And they see that you're lit up. Because you've been made alive in him and you've changed. There's been a change. You know, you may not be. There's a song that we used to sing in our church. You may not be. I may not be a Peter or Paul, but one thing I can truly say is that when I met the Lord and made him my choice, he definitely made a change. You know, he made a change in me. And I want to share that with others. And that's what it's really all about. And that helps to keep me from looking back because I'm looking forward now. I'm not looking back. Yeah, I get caught up like all of us do sometimes. But that's the good news is there's a hope and future for me with him. And in the meantime, I'm going to go through this life. I'm going to continue to have the same sorts of struggles and hardships as I always did before. But now I have a helper. I have Jesus who's for me and not against me. He wants to help me, and I can turn. I can cry out to him. I can talk to him. And he gives me help, real help. But it goes on and it says, you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And then look at this, Ephesians 5. We're going to go back, I'm sorry, go forward a few more. Ephesians 5. And here it's talking about living in the light. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. Excuse me. Because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. That's our goal now. To live like him. It says, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. You know, and it, you can finish reading that if you want. There's more there. But I want to move forward because I want to respect our time and everything. We'll go to Romans 5:1. So we back up a few books. Romans 5:1, or on your phone, it's easy. And this is something good. It says 5:1 Romans. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. We don't have to do anything but believe and have faith because he imputes, he gives us his righteousness. He puts a coat of righteousness over us and in us. He makes us right. I don't have to try to be good. I don't have to try to follow every single law. Yeah, I know them because I study them. He says, if you love me, obey my commands. Well, I can't. I've never been able to obey his commands. So how is that going to happen? It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's only by him helping me. Then I'm right. And so he made me right when I said, yes, Jesus. But there's a process that's called sanctification. And I need time. And he knows that. And he's not giving up on me. He's not going to give up on you. Everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. So, and it goes on. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. I'm moving back. Almost got a squeak. Jeff was like getting ready. It says, where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most of people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his love, his great love for us, by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. That's good news. So we've been saved, and we've been washed in the blood of the Lord, right? So we've been cleansed. That's a cleansing flow that comes. It washes us clean. And then there's the renewing of the mind. And that's where we start getting into a life of worship. When look at Romans 12 now. We'll go over there. Romans 12, 1 and 2. A living sacrifice to God. So now he gave himself as a sacrifice, and here's how we give ourselves as a sacrifice back to him now. And it says, so yeah, we are going to sacrifice. We're going to give him the old life. We're going to give him our old beat up sins. And we're going to say, Lord, I'm giving you all the old beat up me, and I'm going to take on you and your goodness and your righteousness. And so from here on now, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to get myself into this word and listen to what this says. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God, God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So I want to please God now. I was living for myself and whatever that looked like, but now I want to please God. And so I'm serious. We've got to make that commitment. It's a full commitment. If you're not fully committed, you're going to waffle and you're going to go back and forth. But in your heart, you know what you really need to be doing. We all do. We know. It says there's no excuse for not knowing God, so we know. That's why on that day, the people that decide, hey, I'm still going to do it the way I want to, there's no excuse. You've been warned. You've been told. And then it's a choice. It is. But when a person comes to the end of themselves and is saying, man, I just can't do this anymore. This life just isn't working the way I've been doing it my way for way too long. I need you, Lord. And I know you're good, and I know you're going to lead me. It may not be easy, Lord, but I'm going to give it all up, and I'm going to do that for you, because look at all you gave up. You came down from heaven. You left heaven behind to come into this dark world where I live. And Lord, what I think is good here in this world is nothing compared to heaven. And what you have to offer, Lord, how many people you want to touch through me? How many people you want me to share with, Lord? And I just thank you, Lord, like you showed the disciples, Lord. And my friend Iva, we talked last week after service, and we had lunch with Belen and the three of us, and we started talking about this stuff, and she just said, "Yeah, I've been commissioned by Jesus, and I'm full of the Holy Spirit, and I can go out and share the good news, you know." And she's just wanting to do what God said for her to do. And she said, this is me. And she took that as personal for her to do. And that God commissioned her just like he did them. And that's how we have to read this. We have to realize this isn't just for the apostles. This is for all of us who have come to Christ. And you don't want to find out how You want to find out how much you need God? Start trying to share Him with other people. Then you're going to realize, hey, I don't know anything. I've got to get in the Word. I've got to get close. I've got to hear from Him. I've got to pray for these people before I try to talk to somebody. I've got to get with you first. There's no other way. I can't do this on my own, no matter what. So, is this any good at all? Okay. Almost there. So, I got a few more minutes. Let's go to, let's go to 2 Corinthians. This is good stuff. We got the stuff. Let's start in verse 11. We are God's ambassadors. It says, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. Here it is, guys. 17, man. This is it. This is you. And this is me. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. It's free, but it's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you your commitment. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. But look what Jesus paid so that He could have a relationship with you. I see it. And that means I got to give up something. I got to give it all. That's where the challenge really comes in if you're looking at it that way. But that's why we can't look at it with our human understanding and our human wisdom. Because it's unfathomable. You have to understand it's a full commitment. It's a covenant. It's like a marriage. When you get married, you make vows to one another. And you say, I'm gonna stick it out with you to the very end. No matter what happens, in sickness and in health and riches, and or if we're poor, it doesn't matter. I'm never leaving you, baby. Never. Do we fight sometimes? Do we have struggles? Heck yeah. Do I fight the Lord sometimes because I still want to try to do something else? Yeah. But I always come back to my senses because I realize I'm never right unless I'm right with Him. Things start happening in my life that show me every time if I start wandering away thinking, hey, I'm okay. No. Okay, so let's see here. Yeah, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. Through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. It's all going to be all right. I'm telling you. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We are speaking for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So that's His, it's through Christ. I can't get right any other way. Praise God. Okay. Oh, my page flew away. It's been out for a while. Thank you. All right. Romans 4. 22. So back up. I know I'm not going in a order like Terry does, but you guys are scholars. You can find it. 4:22. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in Him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and He was raised to life to make us right with God. Amen. So, we've got to have a death and a burial and a resurrection. We die. We've got to bury the old man, the flesh. We've got the old sinful nature. That's got to get put away. And then live the new life. Resurrected life. Because my old man is now dead and gone. Buried. And I've got to keep him under. He keeps trying to come back. But he's got to stay down so that my new man can live for God. No holding back anything. I'm just going to go all the way till we get to heaven. Okay, and then here we go. This is going to be the closer. Philippians 3. I remember when I first saw this, you know, Jack Warford gave it to me. And man, I got so excited. I got jacked up on Jack Warford and the word that he shared when he shared this. These were all the things that would just keep me moving forward whenever I thought I couldn't do it anymore. I always said, hey, Jack, hey, I'm not qualified because I just did this or I just did that. And, you know, how can I be an elder, you know, in this church if I'm still doing wrong and I I don't think I qualify anymore. And he always asked me, well, so let me ask you a few questions, Mark. Did you take care with God? Did you repent? Yeah. Okay, good. He said, and then did you talk to that person that, you know, that happened with, you know, when, if there was something between me and someone else? Yeah. No, I need to do that. Okay, well, take care of that. And then we're going to keep going. And I was like, just like that? I said, yeah, just like that. That's how good God is. Because when He forgives you, it's forgiven. And you just have to move forward. And then try not to do that again. Okay. So whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. No matter what happens. Another one in Thessalonians says, rejoice in the Lord always. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. He's talking about a circumcision of the heart. Not an outward sign on our body. He wants our heart to be cut away that. Lord. Okay. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Here it is. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. And that's something we really have to, you know, realize. It doesn't matter your pedigree. It doesn't matter all these good things that you've done in your life. In comparison with knowing Jesus Christ, there's no comparison. So he's saying, I've discarded whatever, however great I think I am for some of these accomplishments that I've made in my life. First of all, all good things come from God, so he gave them to you anyway. He helped you, even though you didn't know he was helping you. You can't take credit for what God has done. And then it says, you know, counted it all as garbage. And then he says, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Amen. So, if you're ready to have a death, a burial, and a resurrection, count the costs. Count the costs. Ask yourself, am I ready? Ask yourself, am I ready to go for it with the good Lord? Thank you, Lord. Are you ready to thank him? Are you ready to turn away from the old life? Are you ready to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and then live for him? The scripture is clear. If we go on living the other way, the old way, we know what happens in the end. But if we turn it over to him, do everything that we can to live for him, and with his help, it's not on our own, he's going to help us. Are we ready to do that? That's the question that I would propose. So if there's anybody in here who wants to get it right or wants to need some prayer, this is going to be our prayer time now. Jeff. We always turn to James 5 for the prayer time. Basically, if anybody's suffering and needs prayer, it says to bring them to the elders and they will anoint them with oil and pray over them and God will heal them. If you're suffering or need healing, or if you're, we've already been praising God and rejoicing for the good things he's done, but we like to hear about anything good. If you want to come up and share some of that, it's important. But if you need prayer, you want to rededicate your life, you want to give your life to the Lord. If you've never given your life to the Lord, I'd really like to pray with you. If you have, I would only ask this. Did you mean it the first time? Were you really serious? And if you were, then just repent and move on. Because that's what we would do if we were going to pray. We would just, you know. But if you want some help, I'm up here and we'll pray for you, okay? So God bless. Come if you come if come and we'll pray. Come. So as you head out that door, you're now entering the mission field. Don't forget that share your faith with somebody. Make it a point. And just know that they need you and they need Jesus even more. So just give it to them. Share the good news. Go in with God. Amen.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty, for my soul long and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day in your court. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your court. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your court. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your court. Thousands elsewhere. Thousands elsewhere. One thing I ask and I would seek, to see your beauty, to find you in a place your glory dwells. One thing I ask and I would seek, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. Better is one day in your court. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your court. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your court. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day. Better is one day in your court. Better is one day in your house. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your court. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your court. Thousands elsewhere. My heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit waters to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. Better is one day in your court. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your court. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your court. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your court. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your court. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your court. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your court. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your court. Thousands elsewhere. Thousands elsewhere.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, no.